Good morning. Welcome to another International Connection. We're in show number 36 in the series on mind control, and we're continuing with part two of an interview with Fritz Springmeier, co-author of The Illuminati Formula Used to Create an Undetectable Total Mind Control Slave and Deeper Insights, books about trauma-based conditioning mind control. Fritz is saying that a group of powerful families known as the Illuminati have developed the use of trauma-based mind control throughout their history to maintain and achieve power. He talks about mind control techniques in this interview used, which have been developed into sciences such as trauma and torture, drugs, electricity, hypnosis, structured multiple personalities, and spiritual control. And now, that interview.
There's a science of using spiritual things to control a person. In fact, actually, that is the perhaps one of the major, if not the most major, method of controlling a person. One of the things that's not politically popular for today for people in science to admit that mankind has a spiritual side to them, but humans do have a spiritual side to them. And the Illuminati understand how to spiritually control someone. Their understanding of that has boggled my mind. They have only allowed the common people, even the Christian people, a lot of our ministers only understand the crumbs of, have only gotten the crumbs, so to speak, on how to develop a person spiritually.
And how do you feel that they have developed this and gained this knowledge?
Well, a lot of it began back in the sleep temples of the Egyptians. We go back to your Egyptian priesthood and the mystery religions. They were already learning at that time how to use electric shock. They used electric eels and other things to electrically shock people. They had already started to learn the use of drugs and herbs to create altered states and to control people. These were secrets, though, that were very closely guarded by these Illuminati families and their mystery religion priesthoods. But they continued to develop these over the centuries. Another example of a closely guarded secret was the ability to do cranial manipulation. During, of course, the Middle Ages and even centuries prior to that, the people that, the oligarchical families that controlled the common people, had specialists that would torture for the king, and they kept their secrets on that they learned about torturing people to themselves. But one of the things that they developed was the ability to do cranial manipulation, which is you have to be very careful when you start moving the bones of the skull. A lot of people don't realize that the skull is not a solid bone, but it has sutures between the different parts of it, and you can do very subtle manipulations and move those skull bones. In fact, today there's something called cranial osteopathy, which you have your cranial osteopaths who are very skilled in using their fingers. That developed from these families of bone setters who tied back into the occult, who had learned these secret occult skills of manipulation.
What effect has that had in terms of the mind control, this cranial manipulation?
It was cranial manipulation has been kept an occult secret in occult bloodlines for centuries, and it can be used for good to heal people. It can be used to change the way the face looks to improve the face, or it can be used for evil, to torture someone or to control their mind, because by manipulating the skull you can actually change the way the person thinks to make them more disassociative or more compliant or develop their thinking in other ways.
So can you explain how they would start using these techniques, and generally at what age they would start?
When a child is conceived, a lot of them, their very birth has been an idea from the start. You may have somebody who's in the Illuminati having an occult, conceiving a child in an occult ritual with a woman. It gets very involved as to how they hide their lineages. Let's put it this way. Not everybody born to mothers are actually the biological children of that mother. And then there's a lot of switching done, too, at the hospitals and so forth. So the child's birth has been planned, and then while the child is in the fetus, they already begin certain things to test the fetus, test the fetus's mental abilities, and to also traumatize that fetus so that it'll be more disassociative.
And how would they do that?
A fetus does not like to be poked. A fetus does not like substances that taste bad. What the mother eats will affect the, you know, if a mother eats a lot of sugar, they've shown by watching the fetuses that these unborn children like the taste of sugar as it diffuses into what the child is getting from the mother. So if you combine a lot of these things that are horrific, if you have loud noises and the father is screaming at the mother and throwing her around and abusing the mother, making the mother very upset, and then you've got loud music or like rock and roll or screaming or something, and then you've also given the mother something that she's eaten that tastes really bad to the fetus. You can do a whole number of things that are all going to hit that little unborn child at the same time, and it's going to be overwhelmed, and it's going to develop the its ability to disassociate.
Now, to your awareness, has electricity been used in this regard?
Not so much in the traumatization of the fetus. They use that after the child is born. They oftentimes will have a premature birth. It happens in many different ways, but one of the methods that they like to use is to have a premature birth, because then the child can be traumatized naturally. There's a whole bunch of natural traumas that go along with being born premature. Your skin is very sensitive. You get catheters up your behind and so forth. And they want the traumatization to begin very early on, because they want somebody who can trance out and disassociate from the pain.
So
you're probably familiar, and the listeners are probably familiar with the Indian fakirs, the holy men in India who can walk on coals and stick pins in them and sleep on beds of nails. Well, this actually happens. Well, how does it happen? It's because they are able to disassociate and go into a trance state. And that's an altered state. The Illuminati want to create individuals who are able to disassociate very well, because that's part of the requirement to have the ability to become a multiple personality.
And that is the purpose of the traumatization, is to create that dissociation?
Yeah, that's one of the purposes.
And what is the what is the importance of dissociation then within the total mind control?
It's extremely important. You'll hear a lot in recent times about electronic mind control, and that's being used to divert people away from the more important issue of multiple personality disorder, or DID. The ability to create multiple personalities that are programmed is extremely important it's why they have the ability to be secret. It's why they're able to do so much in secret. The electronic mind control, throwing mental ideas into somebody's brain, which are foreign, is not that much of a threat. I have worked with quite a few victims of electronic mind control, and the majority, if not all of them, are able to recognize that something's being beamed into their heads that's foreign. But when you are disassociated, when you have amnesia walls between yourself and other parts of your mind, you don't know what you yourself are in your entirety are all about. For instance, I had a Christian minister who's spent some time trying to deprogram. He's come and visited here to work on his programming. Here you have a Christian minister who, horrors of horrors, discovers that he's got a disassociated part of his mind which has been functioning within the Illuminati, and these other parts of his mind are satanic. Now imagine being a man of God and finding out that you have parts of yourself that sacrifice people. that's why this ability to disassociate into multiple personalities is such a dangerous ability.
Maybe we can talk about the nature of dissociation and how that is used for controlling somebody. And also, as you mentioned, being not aware of the different identities that are being used for other purposes.
People are familiar with disassociation, and how the mind has the ability to function on several tracks. For instance, if you're at a party and you're engrossed in a conversation with somebody and you're focused on what they're saying, and all of a sudden somebody across the room says your name, and your mind immediately switches and goes, oh, they're calling me over there. Well, that's just one evidence, and there's other ways to realize that the mind is not one monolithic entity, but that it's broken up into components. While you were engaged in that conversation with somebody, there was one part of your mind which was still listening to other things. It was a disassociated part of the conscious mind. In other words, it was disassociated from the conscious. You weren't conscious of that part of your mind that was listening to the rest of the conversation, but it was. Hypnosis and trance and disassociation, they're all just different aspects of the same thing. And the Illuminati have learned over the centuries how to put people into different states, mental states, and when information is learned in these different states, then to access that information best, you need to go back to that particular state. And people realize that what I'm saying, because when you get into a particular situation that's reminiscent of a previous experience, that's when your memory of it is best triggered. Now they go a lot further than just using natural disassociation. They've learned how to create amnesia walls within the mind. And it's basically what they're doing to the mind is the same as what we do with computers. In order to make computers functional, they had to figure out some way to section off part of the computer's memory so that the user could not access that memory. They had to nest that memory. You'll notice when you reboot your computer that the computer reboots itself with memory that you weren't able to access. That memory was disassociated. There was, I guess, in human terms, you could say there's an amnesia wall there. How to build walls in the mind to mentally section off the mind. And they do this through trauma. If you get a severe enough trauma, what the mind will do in order to continue functioning is it will disassociate that trauma with an amnesia wall. For instance, if let's say you were in war and your best friend has just gotten blown to smithereens by an artillery piece, his guts are laying out, your mind may build amnesia walls around this event and you may not be able to remember it. So the worse the trauma, the better the amnesia walls. So the Illuminati take a small child at about 2, and they begin traumatizing it with the worst traumas that are imaginable so that they can create these amnesia walls. They find these disassociated pieces of the mind, which are just like, in a sense, floppy disks, and then they put in their programming to each of these disassociated parts of the mind as to what they want that part to become. Some of these parts they make into personalities, and so they create MPD, DID, they create multiple personalities, and then while they're creating these multiple personalities, they're programming them to be exactly what they want them to be.
Before we get into what kind of things that they're used for, maybe we could just go back and talk about how a person is conditioned to be a total mind control slave, and pick it up, you know, when the child is born. What happens there in terms of the conditioning?
Boy. Well, the programmers like to say this child is a piece of clay, and they view themselves as the potters to that clay. They're very skilled in knowing how to take a child and work with that child's mind to create what they want. We could talk all day in answer to your question, but I'll try to talk on one of the aspects that we haven't gotten into yet, is their ability to go in and identify. They use EEGs, and they're backtracking, I guess, a little bit to stepping outside of the Illuminati for a second. You've got researchers like Hans Eisnick, who happened to have been born in Germany but left Germany, but anyway, and you've got other researchers too that have studied how your average devote potentials that the brain, these are brain waves, your average evoked potentials of the brain waves can be monitored and can be used to see what type of thinking that brain is capable of. In other words, you can use EEGs to to determine personality and IQ of a person. And they have correlated their ability to study a human brain with EEGs to John Gittinger's PAS test. And so when a child is born, they began testing its brain to see what is this person's personality, what type of thinking is this person capable of, what type of career should we plan out for this person. So they take the natural bent of the mind, the natural capabilities of the mind, and they work with that. Likewise, when they're doing the traumatization and they're splitting the mind, they work with the child's creativity and they work with what those pieces of the mind, how those pieces of the mind think.
So typically at what age does that start, the EEG tests and the personality assessment surveys, is it?
Yeah, well, they've already, they do some of it while the child is still a fetus. Then after it's born, they start your neonatal behavioral assessment scale, your Bayley scale, and your other tests. And then within a short time, say perhaps by 18 months, they'll be doing their EEGs and determining what they want to do. Once they determine what they want, what kind of a life they want to structure for this person, then they begin structuring. They begin the mind control to structure the person for that career. This is why people like myself, who have a natural intelligence but have never been connected to any of these bloodlines, we have such a hard time out there in the competition, because the Illuminati can take a particular child, and since they can manipulate things from behind the scenes, they can open all the right doors for this person, and they can get them the grants and the schooling and everything they need, and then adding impetus to this person's career is the mind control that's steering them in that direction too. So you end up, the end product is you end up with somebody who's an engineer or a lawyer or a politician who's very highly qualified for what they're doing.
So what kind of things would, once they have controlled somebody, what kind of things would they be used to do for the Illuminati?
The mind control, this is something that, again, has not been brought out very well by other people, and maybe it's just simply because they're not aware of it. But the mind control is not just to create somebody who's a sexual slave, but it's to infiltrate and control society across the board. Understand that if you're going to control something like they control establishment medicine, you have to have your people in key positions, because the weakest link of a chain is going to break. So you can't have any weak links. So they salt their people throughout society in general, from the gutter to the castles. An example of one group of people that that they have created for modern society are stalkers. In my recent book, Deeper Insights into the Illuminati Formula, I go into how they create stalkers and why they create stalkers.
You mean people that stalk other people?
Yeah, stalkers that stalk women. But like, let's say you're trying to control medicine because the establishment medical system brings them in lots of money, and the medical establishment, as you may know, is very powerful. So you have to have control of the entire spectrum of things, the hospitals, what kind of health care is going to be available, the type of training that the doctors are going to get. They've created secret strike forces like the CCHI and the NCHF keep people in line. All of this requires mind-controlled slaves being salted in throughout the entire system. If you had one weak link, the control is... For instance, if you have somebody who's practicing alternative medicine and you don't control the judicial system, let's say he's a homeopathic doctor and he's arrested on false charges, well, you're not going to be able to convict him if you're not controlling the judicial system. So, again, like I say, you've got to have this vast secret apparatus. And this is why it becomes, until people understand the mind control, they can't understand how there could possibly be the type of control that they have.
Right. So I guess in order to understand like how they are able to control these people that they have put in key positions in society, we do have to talk more about the techniques of mind control. And maybe we can go into that now of how they are able to affect control over these people. For example, the trauma.
Well, yeah, the trauma would be used for a whole number of reasons. But at the very basic level, when you traumatize somebody, where you traumatize them to the point where they almost die, or actually, to be more specific, they actually do kill these people, but they know exactly how many seconds they can allow them to be killed and still bring them back to life. So they manipulate near-death experiences. They have that down to a science. In fact, that was one of the reasons, or that was the major reason that you had the concentration camp experiments by Mengele, where people were tortured, was actually... He belonged to an Illuminati bloodline. He was doing Illuminati research for mind control purposes. He did a lot of research on twins. But they found out exactly how much trauma you could give different people and before you killed them. What that trauma does is it puts the brain back into a survival mode. And now I have to get into explaining that the popular concept of the brain being one monolithic brain is real deceptive. It's been kept very secret that the brain, the human brain, is actually seven brains. And the first brain of the human mind, the medulla and the pons, is called the reptilian brain because it thinks like a reptilian. And if you're always traumatizing a person, you keep them in their reptilian thinking, where they're survival-based thinking. And survival-based thinking, there's certain characteristics that go along with that thinking. At the very basic level, the trauma can be used to keep somebody within their survival-based thinking. It also creates fear, and there's a whole series of things that spiritually happen to a person when they get caught up in fear.